Amen. As I said to you, between chapters 22 and 3, there are some 20 years of unrecorded history. I did give you in the brief introduction to the reading a sense of what Joshua must have felt whenever he was contemplating his own demise and then the leadership of Israel, those that would take over. And he calls them together because he is concerned, and he is in a very mood that would say to us that he senses that things are not right and things could go wrong. And therefore, before God, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he gives these leaders a charge. And I looked at it last Lord's Day, and we considered first of all in this charge to the leaders of Israel that Joshua reminds them of their remarkable experiences. Notice in verse 3, and we've already looked at this, so I'm not going to preach on it, but notice in verse 3 the little phrase, ye have seen. Ye have seen. And out of all the nations of the world in Israel's day, no one had seen the miracles that Israel had witnessed. The Red Sea coming out of Egypt was literally dried up. The waters became too huge. And I mean, they could be 150 feet high walls where water was held back, and the very ground dried up, and they went across on dry land. And when they entered in over the Red Sea into the land of promise, nearly to the very borders of the land of promise, the Egyptian armies came in and they saw them coming. And the waters then overflowed the Egyptian armies. And right to this day, those golden chariots of Pharaoh, those skeletons of the Egyptians lie somewhere. You could near enough pinpoint when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, when you see the Hebrew word shuv, which means turn. And if you're going to try and find where those chariots are, you would need to follow scripture. They came to a certain point geographically. And then the Lord used the Hebrew word turn. It's the Hebrew word shuv, and it literally means to do an about turn. And if you follow the biblical record, not what people think, the biblical record, at that point they didn't cross the Red Sea. You'll not find the Egyptian chariots there. You'll not find the skeletons and the golden chariots and the wheels and all their armory there. You'll not find it. They were commanded to turn, and the word shuv literally means to do an about turn and go in the opposite direction. And they went to a place that, as far as warfare is concerned, it was foolish, because they were shut in. The Red Sea was in front of them. The mountains were all around them. And the Egyptians were at the back of them. And even Pharaoh says, what kind of God, what wisdom is there in a God that leads his people into a place where they're shut in? It's a cul-de-sac. The mountains are in front of them. The Red Sea is here. And the Egyptian army, all we have got to do now is march in and butcher them all. But then the pillar of cloud came and fire and held the Egyptians back. And the Lord says, ye have seen. You have seen all this. And then you have seen the River Jordan in full flood, dried up. As I blocked from the city of Adam right down to the very Dead Sea itself, I blocked the water off, and you crossed over Jordan, and ye have seen my miraculous power. And then you walked 7 times round Jericho. And then on the 7th day, you walked 7 times again in one day round Jericho. And you've seen the walls fall flat. And then when you pursued your enemies, you've seen that I caused the sun and the moon to stand still in the heavens. And you have seen that I rained hailstones down upon your enemies. And you have seen that I've destroyed the Canaanite. And I have broken the back of the enemy. And you have seen it all. And now you're obligated to serve me. And we made the application, didn't we? The child of God, you have seen and witnessed the goodness of God in your life. Of all the people in this earth, God has saved you. Of all the inhabitants that now perish in hell, you'll never be there. And you have seen and you have tasted that the Lord is good. You have known the grace of God. You've received wonderful answers to prayer. You have seen the Holy Ghost work. You have seen others converted through your testimony. And you have seen God working in your own life and blessing you in your own soul. And you too are obligated. And the Lord uses Joshua to speak to you as well, and he reminds you of the remarkable experiences that you have had as a child of God, and therefore you are obligated to serve the Lord. There was even application for those who were unsaved. You have seen, yes, for years, people saved. You have seen family members converted, and you have seen the change in others, and yet you have never come to know Christ as your own and personal Savior. As we move on in this charge to the leaders of Israel, not only does Joshua remind them of the remarkable experiences they've had, but notice that Joshua now exhorts them to be strong in the Lord. Look at verse 6. This verse really spoke to my heart. Look at verse 6, and look at that opening phrase in verse 6. Be ye therefore. Ye have seen what God has done, and you know what he can do. Be ye therefore. In light of that, when you see the word therefore in Scripture, you must read what has gone on before. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Be strong and courageous. It goes on further. It says, be very courageous. This exhortation is so relevant even to us as believers today, as we, like the leaders of Israel, struggle with temptation. There are temptations out there that the Lord says, when you look at them, when you see them, when they come against you, the Lord says, I want you to be very courageous. That's what he says. Whenever we see the opposition of this world, whenever we see the perversion of God's law and the undermining of the moral standards of the laws of God in society, when we see immoral lifestyles being promoted today, when we see what's prevalent in society today and what is acceptable and what our young people have to face, in my day as a believer, I had to face some evils in society, that's true. One of the biggest evils in society that I had to face was the paramilitaries. But today, for the young Christian, some of us never had to face what you are looking at now. And therefore, if you are saved, the Lord's word for you today, young person, young adult, maybe you've come to this meeting and thought to yourself, well, it'll be for adults, it'll not be for me. There'll be no word from God for me today. Well, you are wrong. You are wrong. God has a word for you, young person. And here's what it is, just as it is for me. Be ye very courageous. In this world in which you live, facing the enemy, that's the charge Joshua gave to the leaders of Israel. And he gives the same charge to us today. It's very interesting that the word courageous in verse 6 means literally to be very strong. Now, this is not something you find in the gym. This is not something you find in a glass or a cup of protein. This is not something that steroids give you in training. This is not something you acquire by hard physical manual work. It's nothing to do with physical strength. This is moral courage. This is the strength of convictions. This is that you know what's right and you know what is wrong, and you will not look to the left hand and you will not look to the right hand, but you will plow a straight furrow morally. People may even say to you, I quote, you're very narrow-minded. You never think outside this book. You never work outside this markings, this box. You never go outside that. You're limited, you're narrow, you're tied to your Bible, and outside of that, you're not free thinking, and you don't have a life. That's what they'll tell you. But I want to tell you something. This Bible is not narrow in one sense. It's broad. It's full. It's a living book. Everything in the world is dead, spiritually. But I want to tell you something. They may even say to you, you are strong in your convictions. Why will you not shift? Why would you not accept something else? Why would you not accept another religion? Why are you so strong in your belief that Jesus Christ is God when other religions like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and many others deny the deity of Christ? Why do you stand so strong? Can you not tolerate other religions? I have no problem with freedom of conscience. None whatsoever. And I believe in a free society. And that's why I don't believe that the government has any right to interfere into my family and into our church family. And we should be living in a free world. And we should have freedom of expression. And I do not deny any person freedom of conscience. But I have the right to stand strong in my convictions as a child of God and a believer. And what the Bible says and what God teaches. And that's what it's a reference to. It's not physical strength. It's spiritual strength. It is the power to resist sin and temptation. It is the moral strength. It is the power of conviction whereby you're able to say no to sin. You know, we're coming up to the end of the school term. There's going to be formals, there's going to be parties, there's going to be raves, there's going to be open-air gatherings of young people with drink and the music and the beat. It's going to happen. Started already, I've seen it. Walked through it. Stood in the midst of it, even the last few days, right in the middle of them. But I'll tell you this, child of God, it's going to take spiritual power for you, young person, to say no to those things. You're going to have to stand out like a sore thumb. You're going to have to be different. You're going to have to take your stand for the Lord and not get involved in those things. And it's not going to be easy. And here's a word from God for you for the summer months. Be ye very courageous. Now, when you're tempted, young person and older person, when you're tempted, believer, to sin, when you're tempted to look to the right hand and the left and to get your focus off the Lord, I want to say, here's a word from God. You bring this to your mind. You write this in your heart. You ask the Lord now to inscribe it on the table of your heart and to impress it on your mind and to prick your conscience. And when you're tempted and when you're under pressure, and when you are being bombarded, and when you feel the peer pressure, and you know the temptation is there, and you have an old nature that will betray you, and you feel there's even lust there for it, I tell you this, bring this word to your mind. And God says, be very courageous, therefore, to keep and to do all that is written in this book. I want to tell you, the Israelites on this occasion would be under great pressure from the Canaanites when Joshua dies. If you notice in verses 6 and 7, let me read them to you. Open your Bible. Look at them there for yourself. Look at 6 and 7. Speaking of the enemy, the ungodly, that they come not among these nations. You're not to come into association with these nations. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. These that remain among you. And he says, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, nor serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But look what it says there. But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Cleave. Rather than leave. You are to cleave. Do you know what the word cleave means? It means to stick fast. Stick fast. We have glue today that promises that whenever you stick metal or plastic together, you'll never be able to rip it apart. You'll break the plastic before you'll break the joint where the glue is. We have got super glue. We have got Gorilla Glue apparently now. And you get all this promise, and each one's going to better the other. You could stick pictures up with glue. You don't even need nails. You can stick these things up. You can bring metal together with glue. And you know what it's like? You couldn't pull it apart. And some of the glue, if you get it on your finger, literally, you cannot open your finger. It is so strong. They tell us it's the strongest glue on planet Earth. And if you ever get it on your fingers, or if you put your hand down, you'll hardly get it up. Whenever super glue came out, I, as an irresponsible parent, was gluing something one day. I left the glue down. Now, I'll tell you this. I know the cries of my children. I know when they're bluffing me, when they're trying to get my attention and get their brother in trouble. I know. There's a certain cry, and I said to June, don't even go there. He's trying to get him in trouble. Let it go. But there's another cry. And once I hear that, I'm up like a bullet. I'm straight to where that child is, and I know they're in trouble. Well, I heard that cry. I didn't know what it was. It was in the kitchen. I bolted in. The first thing I saw was a tube of superglue. And my child, I'll not say who he is, but he actually took the entire tube of glue and he put it into his mouth. The entire tube of superglue. Okay, I'm an irresponsible parent, I know that. And I thought, please, Lord, no. But his mouth and the saliva encased around, and how the body is created by God. And it created a film of saliva. And I went into his mouth and I pulled out, I mean, you think I was a dentist. I pulled out a complete mould of his teeth and his gums in one piece. In one piece. And I tell you, it scared me because I know the power of that glue. And the marks on my fingers were still there. It's one of the scariest moments in bringing up and rearing up children I've ever had in my entire life. And how guilty I felt. And I was thankful to the Lord, but I knew how strong, and I thought his lips, his throat, were in trouble. I was scared, I mean that. And I want to tell you something. Just as glue sticks, and I mean it sticks, it does stick. So that word cleave, that's what it means today. It means to stick close to the Lord. You've often said to your children, haven't you? Now listen, you stick close to me. Or maybe you meet someone and you're in a place and there's hundreds of people and they say, I don't know where to go here. Listen, just you stick close to me, I lead you. You just follow me. Just stick close to me. The same way, and it's not like a dog on a lead, by the way. It's like a child holding its hand. The Lord says, stick close to me. And the Lord will not let go of your hand. You may try to pull your hand away, but it says literally, stick or cleave unto the Lord. And that's what here we were saying, that if you don't, then you will leave the Lord, and then you will cleave to these other nations, and you'll be in trouble. You'll be stuck to them, and it'll not be good. So there will be powerful temptation to adopt to the world's ways, to mimic their behavior, to follow their culture, to accept their marriage proposals, and worst of all, to worship their idols. And Joshua tells them they must not look on the nation on the left hand, and they must not look on the right hand. But notice what it says in verse 8. It says, cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have already been doing. That's the sense of the word there in verse 8. As you've already done, or as you've already been doing. But notice in verse 9, notice what it says there. The Lord, in verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you. One man of you shall chase 1,000. Got a great little text from our brother Mark on Spurgeon on that very text last week. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. So the Lord hath driven out. Can I say, as I apply this word to the believer today, that the Lord at conversion has driven out big sins. There are people present here, and I know that whenever they were converted, whenever they either come back to the Lord or were saved, they went down the road and some of them took the cigarettes and they threw them out onto the street. That's a fact. Never touched them since. There are individuals who took whiskey bottles. There's other individuals who took things that caused them to sin and destroyed them. I know some young people, and literally, they threw out all their CDs. They threw out all that would cause them to listen to worldly music, which brought them away from the Lord. I remember one parent saying to me, and his daughter was there present, and he says to me, Thomas, you know, she's got right with the Lord. And one of the first things she did is she put a bit of tape over a little mark on the radio, which would have brought her into a certain station that would have introduced her to pop music, which drove her from the Lord in the first place. and she would not listen to it. And therefore, I said to you that when we were saved, the Lord helped us. And he drove out great nations, just as he did for Israel, and big sins left us. But at the same time, he continues to help us overcome our flawed character sins. He helps us to overcome our besetting sins and those powerful temptations. And he gives us the victory over them. But we have to cleave to him, and we have to be strong in our faith in him. And he continues to help. And if we, with desire, begin to look to the right hand and to the left, then we will go off course. We must stay close to Christ. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must be filled with the Spirit that we might live the Christian life, that we might walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh, that we might obey the Lord and be strong. Be very courageous. There's the counsel to the leaders in Israel. He reminds them of their great experiences with God. Ye have seen. And then he tells them to be strong now in the Lord. Be very courageous. And finally, Joshua supplies them with the perfect antidote to backsliding. Notice in verse 11, and we'll finish here. Joshua supplies these leaders now with the perfect antidote to backsliding. Look at verse 11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Ye have seen. Be strong and love the Lord your God. You couldn't find better counsel. No matter where you would go to, no matter what counselor you would pay, no matter what money you would be out, you will not find any better counsel, child of God, today than what God has given you now in his word. And that is, ye have seen. Recall the goodness of God in your life. And then be strong for him. And then love him. Here's the perfect antidote to backsliding. We begin to backslide when we fail in our love to Christ. These words, I believe, summarize and they supply the greatest antidote in the entire world to backsliding and the disastrous return to old sins and old ways. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. I want to tell you, private praise and worship, a deep sense of our indebtedness to God, a delight in speaking to the Lord and hearing his word, a readiness then to do all that he has spoken that we know is his will, and an overriding desire to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, are means of preventing the heart from departing from Christ our Lord and Savior. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. All of it. Anything less is really to deny him. He wants our loyalty and our love. And serious warnings are given in regarding to lack of love. It'll mean that you will leave the Lord and you will look to something else. And how would a husband or a wife feel if their spouse turned their eyes to someone else? How would we feel? I want to tell you, it'll be heartbreaking to think that that could happen, and it does. But serious warnings are given regarding separation from the worldliness and from the company of the ungodly. And listen, we reject these warnings at our cost and our peril. Look at verse 12 there, for instance. Else, if you do in any wise go back, that is, you fail to love the Lord and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. Look what it says. But they shall be snares and traps unto you. They shall be snares and traps. You'll be trapped. They will be scourges in your side. And listen, it says thorns in your eyes until ye actually perish from off this good land which the Lord has already given to you. I want to tell you the solution to help us overcome such powerful temptation and avoid such backsliding that will cause literally scourges in our sides, thorns in our eyes. We'll make shipwreck from which we may never fully recover. The solution to help us overcome all such powerful temptations is what? Love for the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God today deepen your love and mine for the Son of God. May we love him more than anyone else and anything else in this world. This will safeguard our life and our testimony. And it will bring us much blessing in this evil and wicked world. I leave you with the charge of Joshua to the leaders of Israel. Ye have seen. Be very courageous. Love the Lord your God. Father in heaven, do bless and take thy word now. Back at home, burn it into every heart, saved and unsaved alike. Speak to us today from the word. Grant as we leave the house and those who stay for communion, we'll do so prayerfully and carefully, pondering the things we have heard. And may we know the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it to be our abiding portion. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Could we turn in closing to the hymn 509, please? We'll sing this hymn. And if you're not staying for communion, you're free to leave. Those that are upstairs and you are staying, if you could just make your way downstairs. We have our communion and we're also receiving in a new member. Could we say to you that the next communion service probably be at the end of June. And if God has exercised you about membership and you haven't been able to come into membership as yet, well, there's an opportunity at the end of the month for our last communion that you would be exercised to think about membership. And if the Lord has been speaking to you, then do see myself or one of the elders. We'll furnish you with details. We'll arrange an interview. And then formally you will be received in at the Lord's table the next communion. So keep that in mind. We will receive a new member in here to the church fellowship today. 509, we'll stand together as we sing. Let's all stand as we worship.